This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, it is VSIN, the Sports Betting Network, as we welcome you back here on a Thursday. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. Shout out to the big guy. We're going to miss you tomorrow. Welcome in Josh Applebaum, our co-worker here at VSIN, author, The Everything Guide to Sports Betting, Market Insights, Daily Morning Bets, and this weekend he's just trying to get to the fantasy suite with Elise. You see what I'm saying, big guy? You know what I'm saying, Josh? It. Yep. We know you do. Hey, we're going to get to, I want you to analyze our dog pound picks here in just a second, but let's start with tonight, and that being kicking off week six in Kansas City. We know the angle as far as primetime under, specifically on a short week here on a Thursday, but also big time win tonight, Josh, which has pushed the total down from 51 on the opener down to 47 here.
Yeah, so let's start with the total here, Patrick. Great to be with you guys. I'm all Dustin. Great to see you. So this is an underplay for me, Patrick. I mean, you saw the total open at 51.5. It's down to 47. It was 47.5 at some shops this morning. You're now seeing some books even 46.5. So it's been pretty steady here toward the under, and you hit the nail on the head. There's two big things going on. If you just look at it from a data perspective, it just looks like a sharp under. We've seen this total fall. Only 50% of bets are on the under, but 65% of the money using our VSiN.com bet split. So public's undecided, but all the respected money seems to be going under here. Under so far this season are 44 and 34, 56%. Unders that fall at least a half point, Patrick, as long as it just ticks down at least a half point, the under this year is 31 and 16, 66%. That system is 58% since 2021. Primetime unders, as you mentioned, 9 and 6 this year. They're 60% since 2019. So we have the data angle, but Patrick, this is a weather-based play. I know you were on this one from the start of your show, Sharp Money, today. We haven't seen a windy game like this in the NFL this season thus far. You're expecting constant winds of 15 miles per hour or more. Could have gusts up to 40 miles per hour. I think it's a big reason why, obviously, you're seeing this total drop. But here's some systems for you. When the wind blows 10 miles per hour or more, the under this year is 8-0. Perfect 8-0 since 2021 at 64%. Wow. Also, windy unders 10 miles per hour or more in a conference game. So kind of that outdoor divisional under angle. They're 6-0 this year. They're 73% since 2022. They're 45 and 17. Little cherry on top here, Hockey Lee. He is an under ref historically, 57%. So I like the under here, even though it's falling and continuing to fall. I think it's falling for a reason. So I'm in pocket with under 47.5, and a little bit of lean to the Broncos. I know it's a gross one here, but it's kind of a line freeze play to me. Even though you're getting almost 75% of bets on the Chiefs, public saying, hey, Taylor Swift aside, by the way, she is traveling to the game and Kelsey's questionable. I would say she's probably not going to go to the game, Patrick, unless he's playing. So stay tuned for that injury alert. But you have heavy betting the Chiefs, yet they open 10.5. They haven't moved off of 10.5. So it tells me there's some line freeze liability. Anytime it briefly got to 11, it came back down. Mahomes hasn't been great as a favorite laying 10 or more. He's only 8 and 13 against the spread, 38%. And we do have that divisional dog angle with the Broncos as well. Divisional dogs are 14 and 10 ATS this year. So the public's had their best start, I think, in like 15 years, Patrick. A lot of these obvious plays have been cashing for the public. I'm waiting for some regression. I lean to the Broncos, but I love the under tonight. I got the under 47.5.
Yeah, I like your call, Josh, on that under. We talked about it earlier. And also, if you like this one, you want to get it now, because 47, again, a critical number in the NFL. 48 would have been the best of it, but 47, a pretty good spot there. I want to go to another game tonight at the collegiate level. Starts at 7 Eastern between West Virginia and Houston. This one down in H-Town. Cougars catching 3 at home in this one. Josh, where do you come out on this one?
I'm going to take the points with Houston, Amal. This reminds me a lot of, if you remember Friday, there was a game Nebraska and Illinois where it was a big public play to Illinois. It was 3.5 down to 3 toward Nebraska. Nebraska ends up winning the game. Now, I don't know if Houston wins this thing tonight. I hope they do, because I took the +3, but I like the points and the value of Houston at home here. It's just kind of fishy. If you look at West Virginia, they're 4-1. They've won 4 straight. They just had a massive upset win over TCU. They're a 13-point road dog. They won outright 24-21. Meanwhile, Houston, they've struggled a bit. They're only 2-3 this year. They just got rolled by Texas Tech, 49-28. Didn't cover as an 8.5-point road dog. Both teams off of bye weeks, but what are we seeing in the market? Public is all over WVU. Currently, 77% of bets are laying the points with West Virginia. They think this line is way too low. Easy blowout win with the Mountaineers. However, this was an opener at a lot of shops of WVU -3.5. If they're getting 8 out of 10 bets, why is this line down to 3? Tells me you have some smart money on Houston here at home. They're contrarian in a heavily bet game, only getting 23% of bets, but almost 40% of the money. Conference dogs, like those NFL divisional dogs, tend to bark louder. You have the rivalry aspect. It's going to be jumping here at the Houston Stadium. Also, conference dogs who can score. When I'm on a dog, guys, I want a dog who can put up points, either keep pace or backdoor cover. Offensively, actually, Houston's been better than WVU. WVU has the better defense, but offensively, averaging 414 yards a game for Houston, only 347 for WVU. Also, the passing game of the Mountaineers. Last three games, they've only passed for 301 yards. I mean, they're not really getting it done through the air. And then just a little bonus, Dana Holgorsen, revenge angle. He used to coach WVU. Now he's going up against them at home in Houston. He can play that underdog role. No one believes in us. I would have loved to have gotten the hook here. That's gone. But I got to take the +3 on Houston tonight. Give me the Cougars in the spot.
Boo! Boo, Applebaum! We got
Patrick,
three
you're on
of
WVU?
Us. Yeah, we got the three of us, the big guy, Amal Shaw and myself. We're all over WVU. Look at you. Always a contrarian, Applebaum.
Patrick, got to stay true to my roots, man. But don't worry, I got The Bachelor on the big TV, so I'll have one eye on this game, and you know, we'll see who comes out on top.
Yeah, you got Gramps and the Golden Bachelor. What's cracking? Okay, next one up. We talked about West Virginia, Houston. Now, Dustin, where his mid-sized dog went with USC. So he's just going money line here. You got USC, Notre Dame. What's the number there in South Bend?
Yeah, so this one's really interesting, Patrick. This is the most heavily bet game, our second most heavily bet game. We have Oregon and Washington's most heavily bet. But currently you have Notre Dame -2.5, -3. It's kind of been going back and forth. Now, Dustin, I wish you the best of luck, man. I hope you go 10-1 with your plays this week, and I hope you lose this one, though. I'm going with Notre Dame in this spot. This is a fade the trendy dog play for me, guys. Public is all over USC in this spot. They're getting around 62% of bets, but yet the line keeps going to Notre Dame. I mean, this was kind of a pick'em type game at one point. I saw one book that even opened maybe a short favorite with USC. Now it's flipped to 2.5 or even 3 with Notre Dame. Aside from kind of just the fade the trendy dog angle, you know, this looks really fishy, guys. Why is the number 21 team favored over the number 10 team? Seems like it should be the other way around, but it's kind of a buy low, sell high. I mean, I expect Notre Dame to come out here, play pretty well. They had a really disappointing loss last week. They were a 6-point favorite against Louisville and they lost 33-20. But USC, as great as Caleb Williams has been, and Penix Jr. actually has just overlapped him for the Heisman favorite, like +200. But they barely got by Arizona last week, 43-41. It took three overtimes. They were favored by 21 in that game. I'm going to bank on Notre Dame's defense. They're only giving up 279 yards a game versus 421 for USC. And when two ranked teams play each other, guys, take the favorite. Very simple system, but it's 10-6 ATS this year. It's 56% ATS since 2016. So I'm going to go money line Notre Dame -150, 3-point win. I don't want to push that. I'm on the Irish here. I got to bet against USC.
It's going to be an interesting.
Oh, John, come on, big guy, today. Push back on Applebaum. Come on.
Push back.
What's up?
I don't need to push back. We're going to watch the game and Notre Dame is going to have to be chucking it from behind all day. They don't have skill guys. They got a great quarterback and a great running back and some big, ugly dudes on the O-line. And everyone else is too slow to run with dudes from Southern Cal.
Touche, touche. We'll find out Saturday. Touche.
Silence.
Let's go to the border war between Oregon and Washington.
Guys look like Xerox paper.
Huskies laying 3 at home. Game of the weekend, arguably one of the best games of the college football season, Josh. Two top 10 ranked teams. Which way do you come out in this matchup?
Yeah, Amal, it's almost the same exact cap here. I think if you like Notre Dame, you like Washington. If you like USC, you probably like Oregon. So I'm going to once again bet against the popular dog here. Go with Washington. We've seen this line move toward the Huskies here. They open as low as -1.5, -2. Now they're up to -3. Now, why is the line going toward Washington? Let's take a step back. Ask ourselves why the movement's on the Huskies. The Huskies are not the public play. The public play is Oregon. Oregon's currently getting around 65% of bets, yet the line is going away from them. So if the public's rushing to the window in the most heavily bet game of the day on the trendy dog, why are the odds makers now giving out more points to take the trendy dog? Tells me they've taken a position here on Washington. Huskies only getting around 35% of bets, but 60% of the money. Also, again, that same system, two ranked teams take the favorite, 62% ATS this year, 56% ATS since 2016. And Penix Jr., to me, is a great you know, a guy to back offensively. He's averaging 446 yards through the air per game, only 330 for Oregon. I know Oregon has the better defense, but better offense is Washington. And Washington is going to get one of their best receivers back, Jalen McMillan. He's been out last two games with a back injury. He's expected to play here. Guys, I got two trendy dogs I want to bet against. So I'm going to go money line once again with Washington. Shop around minus 145.
Yay. That is a great way to end it.
Are we finally overlapping?
Amal, we're laying the three, right? And Dustin, we're laying the three, right, boys?
Yeah. No doubt.
Nice.
There we go.
Nice work. Now, the real question I have to ask you before we say goodbye, your boy Jerry Turner, Bachelor, Golden, Old Fart, what's the story? Does he got a lot of shorties he's choosing from?
So, Patrick, I would highly recommend, you know, putting maybe your, you know, the games on your iPad. Put the Bachelor tonight on the big one.
Definitely.
Because you'll get the best of both worlds. you'll get the Golden Bachelor first, and then right after you get Bachelor in Paradise, which that's the naughty stuff, Patrick. That's like rated R. You know, you get PG with the Golden Bachelor to start. But what I'm excited about is I want these older ladies who remind me of my mom or my grandmother to start battling a little bit. They're too nice to start, Patrick. There's also a lot of sad stories of, you know, their widows, or they lost their husband. They're trying to find love again. But this guy, he's decent. Jesse Palmer is trying to, like, you know, give him some tips and show him some game. And it's kind of funny watching him dance and stuff. But also say, you will be astounded by the ages of some of these women. They'll be like 75 years old. Patrick, they'll look like they're 50. I don't know what's going on with kind of the age gaps here. But I know we got some sweats tonight. But Patrick, we'll see who will accept the final rose tonight.
Yep, definitely. I'm into it. We already had Golden Bachelor on Sharp Money. We had Lisa Ann on, didn't we, big guy?
Ooh, I like it.
What? I'm just saying she's... What? That's... Why are you looking at me like that? That's her genre.
It's fair. I need to get some info on the women who get rejected, because it feels like a good bounce back candidate, if you know what I mean.
Josh Applebaum, Market Insights, Daily Morning Bets, the best.
10, the sports betting network.
Sharp Money, as we welcome, I want everybody to lay off the big guy. He knew Baltimore, Tennessee, was in London. Cheerio. I'd also like to mention, as we welcome you back, great job, Josh Applebaum. We've got Andy Staples, one of the best to do it on college football, coming up in just about 14 minutes. Dustin Sweetelson, Amal Shaw, and Patrick Maher. This is Sharp Money. I'd like to mention that I work with a couple of Grinches. Too cool for school, Amal and Dustin Sweetelson. They were talking about Halloween and trick-or-treaters during the break. Okay, listen, I'm a 45-year-old man with no children that I know of. I live alone, and my favorite time of the year is when those little rugrats come around. I can give them a little noogie and hand them a big candy bar and say, be on your way. I love, that's the best time of the year, seeing the kids all dressed up. What's wrong
Halloween?
With you two?
You love Halloween? What are you going to be this year?
I'm not going to dress up. Me and the dog are going to sit there at the door with the candy, I'll go buy the thing and fill it, you know, the pumpkin. Yeah.
I've lived in apartments all over. I would say that set the total under five kids have knocked on the door asking for candy in like 10 years of living. More than that, like 15 years.
But that's not even the point. The point is, Amal said that he sits in the house and turns off the lights.
He's a bad person. He hides. He hides from his obligations.
No, lights are off. I make sure I'm out of the house by 5:30. There's no way they don't come back until about like 9:30.
Because you're trick-or-treating?
Look, you see this? You see this, Dustin? Amal, you guys see that? That's Amal walking around his house with the lights off so he can see. He's got his iPhone out with a little light on.
I agree. You have a responsibility to these children to make sure that they get the candy and a better experience than you got.
Listen, I expect everyone's little kids, Johnny and Lisa, to be the greatest of all time. They don't need my candy. I don't need you coming to my door. We're all good. I always ask people what they want to tell me about their kids. I always say, unless they're doing time, I don't want to know the story.
Two things about when I lived in Henderson, Nevada. Okay. One, I used to post up at and right next to your boy Ben Wilson, where he calls games. The Whole Foods right there up by Green Valley Casino. That's the bar I used to go to. Shout to Cheryl, that was the bartender there. I had two jobs. Don't get me started. Remember when I used to go to the bar at the Whole Foods? Yeah. But I had two jobs. The only time I could ever grab a beer was at the Whole Foods when I went grocery shopping. Shout out to Cheryl. Secondly, you know who I saw at that Whole Foods like regularly?
Oh, I know.
He hit two bombs last night at Citizens Bank. Oh, and Bryce. It's not Castellanos, okay? Bryce Harper. Always shopping at the Henderson, Trader Joe's, at the Whole Foods. Yeah. Right? And then secondly, so that's one thing. The only other thing I remember about living in that subdivision, yes, a subdivision, was I was legendary for handing out the big candy bars.
Oh, you're a king size guy.
The weird guy with no children is handing out big candy bars again. But they kept on coming back.
Did you have a white van in the parking?
I don't know, but I'm afraid there might have been a search or no knock warrant at 5 a.m. if that's the case.
Listen, you would be sitting there with a dark house with the rest of everybody having a good time, being festive. And then, you know who probably our boss is, his daughter now old enough where they dress her up and take her around?
Oh, I think people do that as soon as they're breathing.
Like one.
No, as soon as your kid's born, you put them in some sort of costume. It has to be.
Yeah, Goulet's probably. That's what you do. You can't wait for it, right? That's
what Instagram was invented for.
The kid can't even stand up.
Yeah, that's what Instagram was invented.
The kid can't stand up. The kid can't even lift its head by itself, but you dress it up and you take it and you rifle it at the house and you get candy.
You're holding it by the neck like
you
a puppy.
You hold them up like a little newborn puppy by the scruff and say trick or treat. And then you get it, right? And you come home, you divvy it up, you take a gummy and you have a good Friday night.
I know you don't like sweets, Patrick. So then if you were trick or treating, what would make you happy? I guess a gummy would. Something gummy.
Yeah, well, I hated sweets. So what I would do is I would go ham. I would go hard, and I would collect more candy. We used to take pillowcases. Right. Forget the plastic, pumpkin. Yeah. We used to take pillowcases and just absolutely I doubled down on houses. And then I would come back a young entrepreneur. Oh. I would sell to my sisters and friends on the school bus the next day because I couldn't stand sugar. So I would sell it and your boy would turn around. You know what I'd go do? Buy baseball cards.
It's a different time, man.
I just got a great picture from our very own Will Hill of his cute kids all dressed up for Halloween. See, it's festive. It's the best. It's spooky season. It's the best time. This is
you
the
like
time
being
of
scared,
year.
Though. You like that.
Do you guys watch scary movies?
Yeah, I love. I just like the festive kind of cozy nature of this time of year. No?
Little pumpkin spice candle, little autumn breeze through the window.
You just killed it, big guy. I got the pumpkin spice delivered yesterday. It's burning right now.
See, my issue. This is my issue living here. You walk outside, you don't know what season it is because they all look and feel pretty much the same. You have no idea it's fall right now.
The weather is so amazing right now.
It's good, but
You're complaining about Las Vegas winters. It's the best climate on the planet.
But you never know what there's a smell to fall when you have foliage and leaves and everything's turning. Yeah. There's a different feel to the breeze.
And 90 days later, those people can't even see the roofs of their car.
I'm not saying anything about winter. I'm not saying I like winter. I'm just saying I miss fall.
If our listeners could hear the two of you talk during the break, they'd know that you are negative Nancys. But the idea that you two don't like this time of year, this is the only time of year I wish I had somebody to cuddle with. The rest of the year, who needs it? But this time of the year, you just want to cuddle up and watch a scary movie. No?
I'll give you a website. Someone will come by tonight. They take Amex.
I thought that's where you got your haircut. Never mind. He told me to chill. I'm chilling.
You changed it up. You paid attention.
Yeah, I did. Thank you, Amal. All right. Before we move on, we'll get to our big dogs for the dog pound. Is there one, I'm not a candy guy, but if I had to, I like Skittles. I'll go there. Is there one that it was your favorite when it got dropped in the pumpkin there?
I think... The one everyone loved was the Reese's peanut butter cups. They're really tough to beat.
I'm asking you, not everyone.
So I would go between the Reese's peanut butter cup, or to me, just a Snickers is the perfect candy bar. Like everything about a Snickers is just right. So one of those two, and I'm at. Do I look like someone who can choose between candy
bars? I was going to say, the big guy over here filling out a flannel, acting like he doesn't eat candy. Come on, take it easy.
I'll eat the same one over and over again.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cup for sure, and then the peanut M&Ms. By the way, I still have not tried the peanut butter M&Ms.
So here's the story, and we can move on after this. I bought 2 bags of peanut butter M&Ms to bring you one the next day. I ate both the night before.
That's good for both of us,
That's
actually.
It's a real story.
It was the thought that counts.
Yes,
Dustin,
absolutely.
You know my answer. If people just drop popcorn into my knapsack, like if they, Dustin knows I love popcorn so much. That's my guilty pleasure. That during my birthday one year, he sent me varied popcorns from a popcorn specialty maker there in Henderson, Nevada. Remember that? That was a good job by you.
I live right down the road from that place.
Go get some for your mom and dad.
Oh, it's not a bad move. Not a
See,
bad move.
We're in a good mood because it is spooky season here on Sharp Money. Now, speaking of spooky, it's called betting big dogs on the money line. So let's do it. Next up for me, I'm trying to find my list here, boys. Okay. My big dog of the week is catching 245. It's Colorado State. Yes, the Broncos and Boise State have beaten the Rams 12 straight, 12-0 straight up, 9-3 ATS. But both teams struggled to defend. So if you have a team that struggles to defend and you have an offense, enough weapons to attack Boise State through the air in particular, we saw Colorado State against Colorado, obviously. Fowler, Nicolisi, and Torrey Horton, and Holker, the tight end. Like, they've got plenty of weapons, they being Colorado State. We're taking a shot here at plus 245. They're coming to Colorado State. That's another winner right there. I'm 3-0 on the week. Congratulations, me.
I like the confidence in all the plays. I'll tell you right now, guys, this was a little bit of a tougher one to find here in terms of the play. And I just decided to take a look at the Wolfpack because in a rivalry game at home, they were in a tight game against Kansas. I'll take Nevada here. I like the 9.5 already. I'll take the money line at plus 278. If the Wolfpack are going to win a football game, I figure it's going to be against their rivals, the Rebels.
And they're at
home.
I like
it. If they're going to get up for one game, it's going to be this game. So might as well take a shot. Big guy, you're up.
All right. My last one's another weird team. They can score. I don't know what else they can do, but they've got UTSA. They're going to the Roadrunners. I'm going to go with UAB plus 270. They dominated USF, dropping 56 a week ago. Put 21 up on number one Georgia, went shot for shot and lost to Georgia Southern. Frank Harris came back for UTSA, but he still got a toe injury. I don't know if he's the Frank Harris we've seen for the last 15 years at UTSA. Somehow he's still eligible. UAB's quarterback Jacob Zeno is completing 75%. He's got 15 total touchdowns to 5 pickles. They have a good running back duo, averaging over 4.5 yards per pop each. I think UAB has a chance to upset UTSA this week.
Great. Love it. Best scary movie on the way out. I'll give you a sleeper, Babadook.
Ever heard of it?
You guys ever heard of it?
Babadook?
Look it up. You'd be scaredy cat. I know it. Dustin's scared. You like scary movies, big guy?
I've never seen Alien, Predator, or the Leprechaun movies. Terrified. I can't even look at that character still.
Amal, you got one?
I do not. I'm not a scary movie guy.
All right, we're coming back. Andy Staples.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, don't forget about the betting splits over at VSIN.com. Want to know where the money and bets are moving for every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see the changes in all the action. Of course, you can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits are another way. VSIN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game over at VSIN.com. I believe our boy is there. Give me the thumbs up if Andy's ready to go. No? Okay, we're going to get Andy Staples. Thumbs down from the big guy, the curmudgeon. That is Dustin Sweetelson, Amal Shaw. I'm Patrick Maher as we welcome you back. Spooky season here on Sharp Money. We're going to have our buddy Andy Staples joining in just a second. We just had Amal Shaw and Dustin Sweetelson fans stop by the spot there, the set at the D, downtown Las Vegas, Fremont Street. Always come by and say hi. They sign autographs for free. Is that fair, Amal Shaw? Free autographs?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. Fair enough. Okay. We're going to get Andy Staples up. I think we're going to have Andy for a couple of segments. Once we do, on three is where he's broadcasting from now. Andy Staples, of course, Sports Illustrated, The Athletic, on three. Andy Staples on three is the show on YouTube. I encourage everybody to check it out because he does a great job. Watch and subscribe. YouTube.com/on3sports.
You know, I didn't understand on three until I said it out loud.
They could have said like Omaha or whatever. Yeah, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
You had to say it to kind of to feel it.
And I was like, oh, I get it now. It's like Andy Staples on three. Go.
Andy Staples on three. Andy is a guy, just quickly, as we're setting him up, he's a guy that we used to talk to for years and years on the radio. He's a bit of not necessarily a contrarian like Josh Applebaum from a betting perspective, but I'd say, would you categorize Andy as a bit of a contrarian?
Yes, because he gets, it's like an, but it's an angry contrarian. Like Josh is emotionless, right? Josh, it's about the number and it's about the bet. For Andy, there's anger involved. Like he's angry at people for thinking a certain way.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And he's been covering college football forever, and he's going to join us here in just a little bit. And then we're going to have Connor Allen, 4-on-4 sports betting experts. He's going to join. And Brennan White, we're looking forward. It's his first appearance on the show, DraftKings U.S. trading team lead. So he's going to be straight from the trading floor there at DraftKings. But right now, he is the best of our generation. Let's put it that way. When you think of college football and our generation, you think of Andy Staples. Okay. On3.com. Andy Staples on three. You can check out YouTube, youtube.com/on3sports. And as we say hi to our boy, Andy Staples, at Andy_Staples on Twitter. I work with a couple of curmudgeons. Both Amal and Dustin don't like Halloween. I know for a fact, Mr. Staples, that you freaking love it. And the kids I know in your bougie neighborhood are getting dressed up this year. No?
Of course. Now, here's the problem, though. My 12-year-old is going to a different bougie neighborhood because that's where her friends want to trick-or-treat. So I don't know how to handle that because Halloween is the biggest party night of the year in my neighborhood. I have my costume ready. I'm going to do, like, my show airs at 8 p.m. Eastern time. Like, I will do the show in costume on Halloween. We will pre-record because I'll be drunk by the time it airs. But seriously, I mean, who doesn't like Halloween?
We weren't saying boys, we don't like Halloween. Like,
wait, first off, it's the red Solo cups are going to be going nuts in Gainesville at the Staples household. We know that. The boys right there, Amal, Dustin, defend yourselves.
I just don't like the idea of people coming knocking on my door randomly. You know, I'm just like, hey, I turn off the lights. I'm not at home.
Andy, nobody knocks on the door because I'm standing out there with a big bucket of candy.
Andy, all I said was no one's ever come to my door, and Patrick decided that means I hate Halloween. No, children are just scared of me.
Yeah, you're just a Boo Radley of your neighborhood. That's okay.
did you say
Kill a Mockingbird reference on this show?
You gotta take it easy. Take it easy. The Great Gatsby, Andy Staples, joining us on 3.com. Andy
Harper
Staples
Lee
on 3.
Graduate of the University of Alabama. We're talking college football here.
I'm aware. First off, congratulations. On 3 is awesome. YouTube.com/on3sports. I encourage everybody to check it out. This game coming up there on Lake Washington on Saturday. First off, you know what's so funny? How many years you and I talked when the Pac-12 was dreadful? Now the Pac-12 yes. is freaking awesome, and it's going away, right? This is going to be a great matchup with Oregon and Washington.
It's going to be incredible. And the thing about this is so different than Oklahoma-Texas last week. Like, the winner of Oklahoma-Texas can't really rest on that. Like, I don't know why Danny Sutsman made those T-shirts, because it just means Texas players are going to wear them when they play in the Big 12 championship game with a playoff berth on the line. Like, they're going to play each other again. We know that. The winner of this game probably is making the Pac-12 championship game. The loser might not, though, because both of these teams still have to play USC, Utah, Oregon State, and Washington State. So those are easily losable games for either one of these teams. You need this mulligan. You got to win this game.
You're absolutely right about that. When you look at this matchup, do you just basically give the home field advantage to Washington? That's the difference in this game, because both these teams offensively look so balanced in terms of how close they are. Or do you see one edge one way or the other?
No, I think Oregon's better on the line of scrimmage. That's why I picked Oregon. I think they're better on the D line, better on the O line. Now, Washington could prove me wrong, because it's not like they're some finesse team. I think people look at Michael Penix and those receivers and say, oh, they just air it out, they're all soft. No, they're not soft at all at Washington. I just think Oregon is very good on both lines of scrimmage, and I think that makes a big difference.
I don't think you'd be surprised, but the chatter here in Los Angeles, Andy Staples, is about the line of scrimmage, both offensively and defensively at USC. They had every right to lose that game on Saturday night, late into the night where you live there, against Arizona. Arizona's much improved, to be fair, but they're headed to South Bend. Talk about that matchup with USC and Notre Dame.
That one's an interesting one, because you know the Notre Dame people are so down on their offense right now. I'm like, just wait, because USC's defense is not as good as Louisville's defense or Duke's defense or Ohio State's defense. Like, you will score some points this week. The question is, how much can Notre Dame limit USC's offense as the best defense that USC has played so far? And look, Caleb Williams is a magician. He's incredible. Like, they do not win that Arizona game with a normal quarterback. They had to have Superman to win that game. And they might go in this game because he's Superman. But that's the only way they do it. He has to be superhuman, because that defense doesn't give him another choice.
Andy, good matchup in Corvallis between UCLA and Oregon State. This UCLA team defensively flying under the radar. They had that hiccup at Rice Eccles. But other than that, can this team with the young freshman and Dante Moore go on the road and beat DJ Uiagalelei and company?
Yeah, this is a tough one, because I feel like in the Pac-12, the location has mattered. I know I just said I'm picking Oregon and Seattle, but it's the same thing. Like, when Utah went up to Corvallis, it was right after Utah had beaten UCLA. And those two games, that Utah-UCLA game and the Oregon State-Utah game, feel like whoever was the home team was going to win that game. And so I feel like with the teams at this level in the Pac-12, you just pick the home team when they seem fairly even. And I think Oregon State probably gets it done, because I think they have a little better offense than what UCLA's seen so far. Because Utah, remember, no Cam Rising, no Brant Keithy. That's not the same offense that Utah had last year.
UCLA's defense has been the surprise of the conference, no?
No, I mean, I think Arizona being as good as it was against Washington and USC was, and their record's bad. Like, you look at the record and you're like, oh, they're having a terrible season. No, they're actually pretty good. And you think, hopefully that sort of evens out for them as the season goes on, because they're playing really well. Like, I was really surprised that they were in a one score game with Washington and should have beaten USC.
Andy, how does Miami not have an interim football coach this week?
Well, buyouts are a thing. And that would be very expensive. So that's why, because you can't be fired for cause for just, I don't even know what to call it. We're calling it the brain lock at Hard Rock. Like, I have no idea what to call what happened there. It's the dumbest thing you've ever seen. And the thing is, you've actually seen it before with Mario Cristobal. Like, he's not a knee taker, although I guarantee you he is a knee taker from now on. From this point forward, he will take knees when it is mathematically right to take a knee. My guess is there is now somebody wearing a U on their polo shirt whose job it is to just look at the clock and go, okay, coach, knee.
What did he say after the game? I didn't hear. Did he make an excuse?
No, he said he should have taken a knee. There's no excuse you can make.
I still can't believe. Hey, can you hold on, Andy? Do you mind doing another one with us?
I'm good.
Okay, cool. Okay, let me just do this.
I do multiple seconds.
I know. You're the best. On3, the number 3.com. And check it out. If you like college football, Andy Staples On3 on YouTube as well. Trust me, you won't regret it. They're doing a great job. Staples coming back here. Sharp money.
This This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget DraftKings Sportsbook this season. New customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 instantly in bonus bets, okay? Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day, including tonight for Thursday Night Football. Download the app, DraftKings, and use the promo code SHARP when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Mahers. We welcome you back, our buddy. It's great to see him. One of the best, Andy Staples, on3.com host, college football reporter. Andy Staples on 3 is the show. Of course, make sure you check out YouTube. Go sign up, hit subscribe. You'll be happy you did. Get it part of the algo. YouTube.com/on3sports. And I thought about you, Mr. Staples, because I'm sure you saw what happened. James Franklin was asked a question he didn't like. Okay. And actually, I had Franklin's. I agreed with Franklin in this spot. Now, Franklin has done some unsavory things.
You and him agree.
Franklin has done some unsavory things in the past we won't go into. But some donk got on some press call and asked him a question that was ridiculous. Franklin was freaking hilarious in his retort. Now, Franklin's got he's got a wagon this year. Offensively, it's not a very explosive team. Do you put Penn State in that Ohio State-Michigan class? Let's discuss it.
I've been picking Penn State to win the Big Ten the whole offseason and into this season. So they've done nothing to disabuse me of that. I would like to see them go deep a little more often, like the caller said. But now what that guy was asking was, do you ever draw plays, passing plays that have no check down option? And James Franklin, as a competent football coach, was like, no, why in the hell would you do that? It's basically what the guy was espousing is the strategy I use when I play my son in Madden and he beats me 56 to nothing because I run four verts every play and just chuck it deep. But no, I do think if Drew Aller could show himself to be a little more explosive, but I don't mind Drew Aller not being particularly keen on putting the ball in harm's way. I think that's a good quality to have in a quarterback. You know, we always used to bag on the Alabama quarterbacks for being game managers, but they game managed their way to national championships. So I think that's the thing is, if when you have a defense like they have, you can afford to be a little conservative offensively. Now, the question is that good enough when you play Ohio State, when you play Michigan? It might be good enough when you play Ohio State. If you watch the Ohio State-Notre Dame game, you can get Ohio State into a game in the teens. I think Penn State could win that. I don't think you can win against Michigan in the teens. You're going to have to throw over the top. And so we'll see if they can evolve by November 11th. But that's going to be a fun set of games that, you know, Ohio State, Penn State next week, Michigan, Penn State, November 11th, Ohio State, Michigan at the end of the year. Like, those are going to be spectacular.
Andy, Michigan, they played four offenses that rank 108th, 118th, 122nd, and 123rd. Is their defense as good as what we've seen so far, or is it a combination of playing some incompetent offenses and being very good?
Yeah, we don't know yet. I think a lot of it is their opponents have not been good. But I suspect if you're talking to people who work in NFL circles and they talk about the level of talent that Michigan has on that side of the ball, I think they're going to be good against good offenses too. The problem for Michigan is their schedule sucks. I mean, they do not play a good team until they play Penn State on November 11th. So they will not have been tested at all. The thing that gives me faith in Michigan, though, is they beat everybody the same way every time. You don't get these weird up and down performances. They don't start slow. They just maul the crap out of somebody and play their backups in the fourth quarter. I'm okay with that. I can live with that. Now, it's not the player's fault that the schedule stinks. It's the athletic department's fault that the schedule stinks. But I would have liked to have seen them play somebody good out of conference. Like next year, they play Texas early in the season. You'll have a much better idea. And when the Big Ten expands, they'll have to play a tougher schedule because they add Oregon and Washington next year. They'll have to play them. All of a sudden, that's a different story. We're going to get to see them challenged a little more. But right now, we haven't seen it yet. Again, the consistency leads me to believe that when they do play somebody good, they'll be fine.
Andy, just an all-time competition
and reputation flip by Harbaugh since COVID at Michigan, right? Because leading up until then, it really is fascinating. It's almost like it's two different lives, completely two different human beings.
It's two different staffs. That's what it is, Patrick. It's two different coaching staffs, essentially. And what he did is he got significantly younger and he got a bunch of guys that recruit well and develop well. I think what you look at with Michigan is they are recruiting a little bit better, but the gap between them and Ohio State in terms of what you bring in terms of star rating, isn't that different than it was before. The difference is what comes out, like what goes into the NFL draft. There's very little gap at all. And in fact, if you look at what Michigan's going to put in the draft this year versus what Ohio State's going to put in the draft this year, Michigan's probably ahead.
Andy, when you look at Oklahoma, they get a huge win for Venables there. How legitimate is this team? Dylan Gabriel gives you a legitimate dual threat in terms of making plays with his legs as well. But can this team carry that win not only through the rest of the regular season, but into a potential rematch against Texas in Arlington?
Well, the regular season, I don't think is going to be a problem for either one of those teams. I think Oklahoma is going to roll through the rest of its schedule and Texas is going to roll through the rest of its schedule. The rest of the Big 12 is not very good this year. So it's not that I'm worried about. It's, you know, can you beat Texas again? And I think Texas having a chance to see you and know how you tick, that's going to make that matchup better the second time around. But I will say I was really impressed with Oklahoma's offensive and defensive lines because I wasn't sure how they were going to match up against Texas. And yes, they use tempo to negate some of what Texas's D-line can do because they're really good inside, especially. They have four defensive tackles that they rotate. Three of them are definite NFL guys, probably high-round NFL guys. And they didn't get to do much in that game. Part of it was the tempo, but part of it was Oklahoma's offensive line was just good. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what it looks like the second time around because I am fairly certain there will be a second time around with a playoff berth on the line this time. But I thought Dylan Gabriel outplayed Quinn Ewers. And if he does that again, Oklahoma's going to win again.
Georgia football 2023 is fill in the blank.
Probably winning the national championship again. Now that we've seen it, like we needed to see it. We need to see what they did last weekend to Kentucky. We hadn't seen that yet. We'd seen him kind of fart around a little bit against South Carolina and against Auburn. But now we know they have that gear. So, you know, the Michigans, the Oklahomas, the Penn States, the Ohio States, the Alabamas, maybe. But if they play the way they played on Saturday night, I don't know that there's anybody that can beat them.
Can Alabama run the table in the SEC West? It looks like they've kind of settled in on Jalen Milroe now.
Yeah, and I think that's probably what's helped them figure things out. Because this was always going to be a better defensive team than it was an offensive team. But it felt like in the early going, even when Milroe was starting the first time around, that they were running an offense that they felt like either Jalen Milroe or Ty Simpson or Tyler Buchner could run. After the USF game, when they showed everybody, okay, Tyler Buchner and Ty Simpson aren't the guy, and said, we're going with Jalen Milroe, that's when things started to really get better because they really seemed to build the offense around Milroe, who is a very explosive runner and has a beautiful deep ball. If you're asking him to do a lot of intermediate type stuff, that's not his forte. But the high confidence short passes and the deep shots, he's really good at. So you add in what he can do for you in the running game and you get that, draw that extra guy into the box and you go over the top. That's why he's become one of the more explosive passers in the country.
How about your boy Shane Beamer at halftime taking a chainsaw to the hedges there at Georgia thinking he won a football game? What the hell was that?
My boy, I didn't go to that school. You did.
He's something. He is something. He's in the group chat. Look, Shane Beamer, you're in the group chat.
He knows. I mean, he's the one who said after last year's game, have you seen those players? So 14-3 at halftime, you're feeling pretty good. That you even got to that point, you're feeling pretty good. No, I believe Shane Beamer is trying to embarrass my alma mater this weekend. My alma mater is an underdog at Williams-Brice Stadium.
Yes,
mostly
sir.
Because I think the people in your fair town, not you, Patrick, but everybody else's fair town at that station, I believe they've looked at Billy Napier's road record and they see what they see.
Napier's not a big, he's not, the Sharps aren't a big fan of Billy Napier, to say the least, at Florida.
The Sharps look at the data and they react to it. And the data say, notice data plural, data say, that the only road game he's won at Florida was a game when Texas A&M had most of their players out with the flu. That's a sad,
great,
bad sign. That's why they're
on three. On3.com. Make sure you check out youtube.com/on3sports. Andy Staples, On3. Happy Halloween, my friend. Thank you.
Can't wait.
Okay, we'll see. Andy Staples does a great job. Make sure you check out On3 Sports on YouTube. We're coming back. Connor Allen next.